Illinois.
This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 427. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, my first guest says that the best brands in the world make the customer feel like you want to jump in bed with them with someone you love. Deb Gabor was born to brand, as she says. She's the founder and brand dominatrix of Soul Marketing, a brand strategy consultancy obsessed with building winning brands. And she's author of a new book called Branding is Sex. Deb, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry. Glad to be here.
So why do you put these two concepts together, branding and sex?
Well, it's because the best brands in the world, as you said, are the ones that give their users this feeling that they've got the world on a string, or that, you know, they can achieve anything in their lives, and it gives them a great positive feeling about themselves. And when you feel really, really good about yourself, you often want to jump into bed with someone you love, or, you know, someone you want to love. You know, I put branding and sex, those two concepts together, because it helps organizations really get a picture for how the brand is about customers and the brand is not as much about the company. The brand is really about the story that it tells about the people who are using them. And where the whole branding and sex metaphor came from is that over my 20-something year career, I've met a lot of technology companies and organizations that are in sort of hardcore industries, business-to-business type companies and things like that. And the concept of branding is often lost on them. And so, you know, we'll go through a lot of brand strategy and brand workshops, and I'll still be getting glazed over looks from folks. And I learned that if I find the one person in the room who really seems like they're not getting it and come face-to-face with them and ask them the question of, how does this brand, how does your brand make your customers feel like they want to jump into bed with somebody, then the whole world of possibility opens up for them. So it's kind of the ultimate question in getting brands to think about themselves through the eyes of their customers.
So Deb, who would you say, which brands are doing this really well?
Well, a lot of the consumer brands that we know and think of do a great job of this. And so, you know, really the essence of the idea of branding being like sex is that it does these three things. First of all, great brands say something about the people who are using them. So, you know, for instance, you're driving down the road, you see somebody driving a Ford F-150 truck, you automatically know something about that person based on their choice of the kind of vehicle that they're driving. Likewise, you see somebody driving a Toyota truck, those two things, they perform in basically the same way in terms of their functional benefits, but they each tell a different story about the person. So, you know, I would say Ford does a great job at it, Toyota does a great job at it, Tesla does a great job at it, Apple does a great job at it. So that's the first aspect. You know, there's great brands to tell a story about the user. The second thing that makes a brand really strong and really great is that it's singular. And what I mean by singular is that it's, you know, uniquely indispensable to a customer. And it's known for something that sets it head and shoulders above everything else. And so that's meaningful differentiation. So there's a lot of really great brands out there that are meaningfully differentiated. I think about Nest programmable thermostat. I've got two of those in my house.
That one too.
Conversation piece. And, you know, the cool thing about Nest thermostat is that, you know, people who use them and know them and admire them have a lot of love for them. They perform the same duties as, say, a Honeywell thermostat or a Sunbeam thermostat, but you don't hear people talking using the word love about their thermostat if it's for any of those other brands. So Nest is another brand that represents that.
You know, and I love this. I love this idea of love when it comes to brand, because I think that if you love your brand, so I just wrote an article said, I think I'm in love with the new AirPods, right? The new Apple AirPods. And I specifically use that word love because that's how I feel towards them.
Right. And so, you know, the essence of branding is creating those conditions of love. I like to talk about love in these terms, you know, this notion of irrational loyalty. I am irrationally loyal to some brands. For instance, I like Apple everything. I've had every eye thingy ever made, probably. I love the Apple brand so much that, you know, even when I held a beautiful Samsung phone in my hand, you know, I held it, I caressed it, I looked at it, I kissed it, I licked it, all of those different things. I thought I wanted to buy it. I would feel like I was cheating on Apple if I were to buy any other brand. And mm-hmm. so that condition of irrational loyalty is kind of the ultimate in love. And so, you know, the key thing to understand about branding is that branding is not about cognitive decision making. Branding is about creating emotions and creating feelings and creating bonds with customers that facilitate decision making, because about 98% of the decisions that we make take place outside of the neocortex of the brain, the part of the brain that handles language processing and cognitive decision making. And you need feelings to facilitate those decisions. Right. So that really is the essence of branding. So picking up on love there, you're exactly right. And that's something that organizations can strive for to build with the relationships that they have with their customers. And that's not just for consumer brands. It's also for brands that serve businesses.
It's funny because one of the brands that I love that I wear a lot of is Icebreaker. It's Merino Wool. I don't know if you're familiar with that clothing brand. And there's a store in Chicago. And when I walk by that store, I always go in, even if I don't need anything, because I go in there and I feel love.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I always talk about things and companies and services that I love. Another one that I really love is Zappos, for instance. I mean, this is the ultimate in irrational loyalty, right? I love shoes. I probably spend, I don't know, $10,000 or $12,000 a year on shoes. I buy 99 and 44 100% of those shoes from the Zappos website, because Zappos is not a place that sells shoes. Zappos is a place that sells love. Mm-hmm. They just happen to have shoes. If Zappos were selling farm implements and I were a farmer, I would probably buy them from Zappos, because they basically raised the bar and created a whole new set of working rules for e-commerce companies. I am so irrationally loyal to Zappos. You know, here's an example. I could walk into Nordstrom today. I could try on a pair of shoes. I could wear them home, right? And I could wear them tonight. However, I would rather purchase those shoes from Zappos, and while I'm looking for those shoes on Zappos, I might buy two or three other pairs just to get them into my home and be able to try them on with the dresses in my closet, in front of my full-length mirror, in the good lighting that makes me feel good. I usually end up buying far more pairs of shoes from Zappos than I ever would from going into a retail establishment, because I like the ease of use associated with Zappos, the easy way I can return them, you know, no questions asked, up to 365 days after I purchase them. I love the service. I even love that Zappos tells me how much they love me. So that's an example of that irrational loyalty and that love that we're talking about.
I hear that. I feel the same thing about Amazon. I log onto the website. They call me by name. They actually know what I bought, and they suggest things that I really do want to buy. So I could get
right.
that. So in the book, you also talk about the 10 indications you have a branding problem. What's some of the things that should really put a red light on an owner's mind? They say, you know, I've really got a branding issue here.
So a couple of things that are indications that you have a brand problem are things like everyone in the company who's involved in selling or servicing customers is using a different pitch. They're all saying different things. They're all saying, we are this, and the answers are all different. Another thing is when your employees or even you can't explain, even in casual conversation, why your company exists or even what it does. Another indication is your revenues are tanking. You know, if revenue is on the decline, you're having trouble connecting in the sales process, whether you're a B2C or a B2B brand or a B2B2C brand, if you're not selling, that is an indication that you have a brand problem. Other things that are good indications that there's a brand problem are when other sort of Me Too brands are entering the market. So people who are imitating some of your functional benefits and maybe even some of the bells and whistles that your product or service offers, and they're eating away at your market share. So those are all indications.
And so what do you do as a result of that? How do you get to from there to, oh, my customers love me?
So, you know, really the key thing to remember is you have a brand whether you like it or not. There are kind of two parts to the brand construct, one part being the brand identity. That's the part of it that you control. And the other part being the brand image. That's the part that the customer controls. They are not equal. So your customers actually own your brand. And so, you know, when you determine that you have a brand problem, the first thing you need to do is turn to your customers and really try to understand, you know, who is our ideal customer? build the brand for the customer who is most highly predictive of your success, the one who most aspirationally is going to bring you the most profitability and be the most pleasurable to serve, and then create a brand around that person. So that requires going out and actually understanding, you know, who is that person? What is it that they want of us? You know, where are their needs currently being met? Where are their needs unmet? What's their relationship with us? What are their other choices? What are the characteristics that are most important? Where can we dial up what we bring to the table that delivers against those requirements? And then maybe what are some nascent characteristics that we bring that customers are maybe not really that aware of that can provide additional value to them to make them a hero in their own story?
Well, Deb, I got to cut you off there. The title of the book is called Branding is Sex. You can reach Deb at www.brandingissex.com. Deb, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Barry.
This is AM 560. The Answer. Will be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, I'm Jeremy Scott. Taking a look at your roadways, we'll start things off with the Kennedy, where the Ohio and Ontario feeder ramps are completely blocked off until the top of the hour. So for about the next 45 minutes or so, you can't access the Kennedy from the Ohio and Ontario feeder ramps. You might want to go into downtown and access the Kennedy that way. Although you're also seeing no access to the express lanes either until the top of the hour. But thankfully, volume's pretty light out there to where we're not seeing any issues at all anywhere around the systems there. No delays on the Edens, Kennedy, Eisenhower, the Stevenson. The Rhine to the rest of your Southside expressways are looking good. Same with Lakeshore Drive and the tollways. All the roads in or out of northwest Indiana are moving well. Today, going to look for some beautiful temperatures of 70 degrees. Also, we're going to see some sunny skies. Right now at O'Hare, it's 41, same at Midway, and 45 at the lake. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
There's been a lot of talk recently about fake news, and it's gotten a lot harder to know who in the media you can trust. Too often, reading just the headlines can be misleading. You need to turn to a place that you can trust, a place that gives you more than just the headlines and more than just the mainstream media spin. What you need are answers. That's why we're here. Get the latest news. Find out what it means and why it's important to you. Real news, real answers. Join us on AM 560, The Answer.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
It worked for me. I need it in the afternoon. I wear down. I'm 84. And in the afternoon, I sort of slow down. I take my Balance of Nature and it picks me right up.
Knowing that I'm getting my fruits and vegetables, I feel better.
I have a blood disease, but I've been taking this and I really don't bleed as much as I used to either. That in itself, to me, is a miracle. I will continue by Balance of Nature. The best thing that Dr. Howard ever did was make these pills.
Take Dr. Howard's health challenge and find out how to get the best offer they've ever given. Two free sets of fruits and veggies. We'll even ship them to you free. Call now for details. Call 1-800-2468-751. That's 1-800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, I have a question for you that you probably never contemplated. What can we learn in small business from Lady Gaga and drag queen RuPaul. Well, one of my favorite authors in the world, Jackie Huba, actually has the answer. She's the author of four books, including three on customer loyalty. Her book, Monster Loyalty, How Lady Gaga Turns Followers into Fanatics, was hailed by Publishers Weekly as a thought-provoking, well-executed look at one of music's biggest sensations. Her newest book is called Fiercely You, Be Fabulous and Confident by Thinking Like a Drag Queen, endorsed by none other than top drag queen in the world, RuPaul. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Barry. Thanks so much for having me.
I got to tell you, anytime I get to talk about Lady Gaga or RuPaul on this business show, I just jump to that.
Yeah, I think these are people you wouldn't think of as sort of teaching us things in business, but they really do.
Let's first talk about Lady Gaga, because she fascinates me, because before she was Lady Gaga, and I don't remember what her real name is, her career really went nowhere, right?
Yeah, her name is Stephanie Angelina Joanne Germanotta. And
doesn't have the same ring to it as Lady Gaga, eh?
Exactly. And, you know, when she first started out, she really couldn't get played. She was just this, she started out as sort of a folk singer in New York City. And then she kind of went to heavy metal, and then she went to punk. And finally, she settled on dance music. And it was when she created this over-the-top Lady Gaga character that she really started to get noticed and really started to get played in the gay clubs, and they became her initial following.
And now she has really been a brilliant marketer. Talk about that a little bit and what you admire about what she's done.
Yeah, you know, I just got obsessed with her in the beginning about the music, but then I was watching how she was interacting with her fans, and I'd never seen anything like it for pop stars. And I studied her for 5 years, and I started to realize that the strategies she was using was to build a following for the long term. She said, I want to be around for at least the next 25 years, and you could see her strategies. And so I decided to write a book about what she's doing, how she's building a following, because businesses need to build a loyal following, too, if they're going to be around for the long term. So that's kind of why I wrote the book.
So talk about some of the strategies that you've seen her employ successfully.
Yeah, probably the top one is the one I call focus on your one percenters. So she spends a lot of time on 1% of her entire customer base. These are the super fans, highly engaged. They're the ones who are the first to buy the concert tickets, the first to buy the merchandise, the first to follow her, the first to tweet about her. And they bring new sort of customers or fans into the fold, if you will. And I've done a lot of research in my other books on customer communities for businesses like Microsoft and Intuit. And it was the same thing. I found these when I looked at the customer communities, the most engaged people, the most highly connected customers to the business, it was around 1%. And so I think a lot of people think about getting new customers, but my message is, hey, don't forget about these super engaged customers. They're usually a small amount, but they're highly vocal and highly influential.
And they really drive word of mouth. I find, you know, I fly every week with American Airlines, and I'm one of their top flyers. And whenever I say anything on Twitter, they're back at me right then. And they're always, and even they're reaching out to me proactively on Twitter, which is amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a stat that just came out, I think it was last year. A company looked at the total social mentions for a company online, and it was created by 4.7% of the customer base.
Wow.
So kudos to American, you know, for paying attention to their top folks like you. But that's what a lot of companies should be doing, is like looking at whether it's 1% or 4.7, it's still this kind of small amount of people who are super excited about the company. They love to talk about the company. They love to tell other people about the company. And I just see too many companies sort of ignoring them and treating everyone the same versus really nurturing and kind of bringing these 1%ers closer into the company.
And I think it really does feed on itself, Jackie, because if you're a huge fan of Lady Gaga or you fly a lot of American, you spend a lot of time in the airline, and they actually make you feel important, which actually drives your loyalty even more.
Yeah, in the book, I have these 7 strategies that Gaga does and how she builds this following. And one of them is make your customers feel like rock stars. And she has been doing amazing things. She, one of her concert tours, she actually told people if they were the first in line, they got the key to the concert. And so these kids were lining up for hours, for days, and they got to come in and they got a special key and a special necklace that where she had the other half of it, and then they got pictures taken with her and posted on her social media. And so she, from the very beginning, like, found these ways to highlight her top customers kind of back to the entire audience.
All right, so I got to ask you the last one before we switch gears. What did Lady Gaga think of the book?
I have to say that was her team had tried to interview her for the book. She was on the Born This Way tour overseas for a long time, for years. I couldn't interview her, but I talked to her folks, and her dad had it. And I met her backstage in Chicago, actually. And I said, you know, I don't know if you've seen this. And she said, I haven't. She looked at it, and I said, you know, I think everyone should I think businesses should understand how to treat their customers the way you treat little monsters. And she said, oh. She said, you know, well, thank you for highlighting that a woman can be a good business person.
That's funny.
Because she's very much a feminist, and I really appreciated that that I was highlighting a woman, specifically her, in being having good business strategy.
That's great. Well, your latest book is called Fiercely You, Be Fabulous and Confident by Thinking Like a Drag Queen. How did you put these two ideas together?
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, if you look at Lady Gaga, she actually is a drag character. Mm-hmm. So, like, it wasn't too far of a jump. But I was watching a show called RuPaul's Drag Race about 4 years ago. And if your audience is not watching RuPaul's Drag Race, it's a reality competition show hosted by RuPaul. Season 9 starts tonight.
Season
Friday.
9. Unbelievable. Season 9.
Season 9. He just won an Emmy. They've just RuPaul won an Emmy last season, and they've just moved it to VH1. So tonight on VH1, I think it's 7 Central. Great show. And, you know, a few years ago, I kind of felt stuck in my life. I felt like I just wasn't doing what I should be doing in life. I didn't know what that was. And I started watching the show, and I saw these amazing performers, these guys who were creating these female personas as part of their drag. And I thought, you know, we create personas every day. Why can't I be as confident and fearless as these drag queens? And I started to think about Lady Gaga, and I remembered the research that I had done for my first book about my book about her, where she talked about putting on this Gaga persona because she was 19 in a male-dominated recording industry, very insecure, and she built a persona that was bold and fearless. And I thought, wait, Gaga's doing it, drag queens are doing it, even Beyonce with Sasha Fierce is doing it. I want to learn more about how to be a more fearless woman by understanding how to build personas like they do.
So I guess my question, Jackie, is where does the persona, how does that balance with the idea that we're supposed to be authentic, right? We're supposed to be the same person, you know, at work or at home as, you know, we're supposed to be authentic. How do you balance those two ideas?
Well, the funny thing is we're not the same person, no matter what we I know people say that, but we, as part of our personality, we create personas every day. We are not the same person at work that we are with our kids, that we are with our friends. These are different personas. They're all part of our personality. And I actually partnered with a therapist to write this book who helped explain in the book the psychology behind all of this. We have many personas today. We don't think about them. They are authentic to us, but we are still creating them. So what I'm saying is, if there's a time in your life where, or a situation where you need power, some people hate presenting. And so this is a great use of this. If you hate speaking, think about building a character. I like to think of a drag character, but build a character. When you go out on
stage, if a drag character doesn't work for you, that's okay. Build something else.
Well, I mean, like a superhero, you know, it's the same thing. Or think about yourself as a famous celebrity that you think is very bold. Like, go out thinking like that, thinking about yourself as a different persona, and all of a sudden it's not you out there. It's this bold persona. And this is called, there's actually psychology around it called power priming. When you think of yourself as a powerful figure, it primes your brain. It actually changes your feelings and changes your behavior. And so this idea of thinking about yourself as a powerful person, it allows you to feel more powerful and be more powerful.
I love that. I think it's really important. Well, Jackie, thanks so much for being back on the show. Where can people get a copy of your book?
All the books are on Amazon.com.
All right. Or they can go to www.jackiehuba.com, right? H-U-B-A.
Yes. That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see what your next book is after this one. because I think you put fascinating ideas together. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Coming up next, what do you do if disaster strikes your business? We'll have the answer. This is AM 560. The Answer. Be right back.
You need to understand that the way you build wealth is you do not use the evening news or CNN or Fox to set the tone of your emotions around your investing.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're thinking of changing your investing patterns because you're watching the news, you need to turn off the news. You are in charge of your destiny.
Dave Ramsey. Weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. Voters in France making their choice today for a new president, but sentiment is so divided it's unclear if any candidate has an edge.
This is probably the most unpredictable election in France in a generation, very polarized. Candidates, 11 candidates are vying for votes. Four of them really are in contention to go through to the second round.
Sky News' Michelle Clifford in Paris. Security is tight after last week's terror attack. And conservative author and commentator Ann Coulter says she'll be at the University of California, Berkeley for her speech this week, no matter what.
We'll have plenty of national media to put on display this Thursday because I'm showing up. I hope I can give my speech.
Coulter on Fox's Justice with Judge Jeanine. The university says it has postponed the speech due to safety concerns. Fox News, we report. You decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Jeremy Scott, taking a look at your roads, and we do have a couple of roads closed now for the Ravenswood Run 5K. They include Hermitage from Sunnyside to Leland, Raven from Wilson to Leland, and Wilson's also shut down between Ravenswood and Palina. Those roads should open up by 11 this morning. Also, no access to or from the Ontario or Ohio feeder ramps until the top of the hour. That's for construction. And the Kennedy Express lanes are also closed for road work till 6 a.m. Rest of your roads are moving well. And this report is sponsored by Target. This week at Target, get Market Pantry Cheese, 2 for $4. Find these and lots of other great deals on everything you're on your list. Target Run and Done. Prices may vary. Forecast for today, clear skies with temperatures in the 70s right now at O'Hare, 39, 40 at Midway, 45 at the lakefront. Your next update's in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva.
Nextiva
is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-9600 to learn more today. Nextiva.
Nextiva.
Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMaltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
This is a special notice to all U.S. taxpayers. If you owe the IRS or state back taxes and cannot afford to pay them back, there's good news. Due to the financial hardship many are facing in today's economy, the IRS has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Qualifying for this program will resolve your tax problem, end all collections, and possibly reduce your back taxes by up to 90%. If you are facing wage garnishments, liens, bank levies, audits, or payroll taxes, it's not too late. Your circumstances may qualify you for this special program, protecting your savings and your assets. If you owe the IRS or state back taxes and cannot afford to pay them back, there's no need to worry anymore. Call the hotline at Victory Tax Solutions to see if you qualify and potentially save thousands. For this free information, call 800-352-4757. 800-352-4757. That's 800-352-4757.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
So what do you do when disaster or a huge crisis strikes your business? If you're not prepared, in a day, your business could be over. Here to help is Dr. Randall Bell. He's a socioeconomist and author of a book called Me, We, Do, Be, The Four Cornerstones of Success. He's a strategic problem solver. He's consulted on the World Trade Center, the Flight 93 crash site, the BP oil spill, Hurricane Katrina, the nuclear testing at Bikini Atoll, and several other tragedies, including JonBenet Ramsey and the O.J. Simpson case. Dr. Randall Bell, welcome to the show.
Barry, it's great to be here. Thank you.
So how do you sleep at night just working on all these disasters? It seems to be a tough way to make a living.
Well, I didn't cause a disaster. I'm there to help. So that's how I sleep quite well at night, knowing that I'm doing what I can to make things better.
Well, in your bio, it says that People Magazine calls you Ghostbuster. The Wall Street Journal calls you Dr. Disaster. And the Los Angeles Times calls you the Master of Disaster. Where'd you get all these nicknames?
You know, people just started throwing them at me, and at first, I frankly, Barry, didn't like them. But then, after a while, I decided to, you know, just go along with it. In fact, when I speak at high schools, I hand out Master of Disaster T-shirts, and they love them. But you know, they just kind of came along, and you know, with the People Magazine thing, I've never seen a ghost as far as being a Ghostbuster. But you know, they say what they say.
So, as a socioeconomist, how'd you get involved with disaster recovery?
Well, basically, my background's in real estate, and one day I just got this idea: what if I really focused on, instead of what creates value, what things cause a loss in value? And that just opened up a whole new world, because, like with the O.J. Simpson case, Lou Brown wanted to know what to do with the condo in the aftermath, and so I helped with that. But that led to, you know, meeting his family and discussing, you know, what was going on in their lives. I think you know, Barry, where I made a real connection between the economics and the sociology, I was actually in Chernobyl at the military post there, and it was lunchtime in there. I was waiting for my paperwork to be processed to be let into the nuclear reactors, and the guards brought out, they all had machine guns, and they brought out vodka for lunch, and I thought, you know, I'm not terribly bright, but vodka and machine guns is not a good mix, and it's not a coincidence that the world's biggest nuclear disaster occurred in a culture where this was okay. So that's kind of how all this evolved.
So if you own a business, how do you get through when disaster really strikes? Because we can think of a lot of examples of companies that have done it really well, and for some companies, it was just over after that.
Great question, Barry. And it really comes down to our me, we, do, be. Our me is our thinking. It's the quality of our mindset. The we is our relationships. Do is you know, doing our job, doing our work. And B is our goals and what we want to accomplish in the future. And really, when disasters occur because of a crack in one of these four cornerstones, a crack in our relationships or a crack in our thinking or on or around the me, we, do, be. So if you understand that, to work through a disaster, you really got to get back to fundamentals and basics. It's not some out there idea. It's really the opposite of getting back to basics and looking at, you know, do we have a good solid, you know, thinking? Do we have a good solid philosophy? Do we have the right relationships in place to work through this? You know, we need to get to work, and exactly what is our vision? Where is it we're going? Have a clear written objective of what we want to do. Getting back to the basics is a very successful game plan. I've generated billions of dollars for my clients with this game plan, and it really works.
And so how much of being honest without exactly what happened and telling the public this is really where we're at, how important is that up front? Or do you shape the message until you have something that really can be economically viable?
Well, great question, Barry, because being honest, being authentic is essential. And people can respect an honest person, but you know, the public's pretty savvy. They can see through a bunch of nonsense and a bunch of baloney. So, you know, with Chernobyl, you know, what prolonged that disaster and actually made it worse was the government came out and lied and said nothing was wrong. And, of course, you know, something was very wrong. And I think the whole Soviet Union fell apart, you know, as a consequence. So it's really important to be authentic. And when you are authentic and you admit mistakes, people actually come to your aid rather than the other way around. So the natural tendency is to lie and cover up. It happens all the time. But it's a really critical mistake.
So this is really where a lot of companies get burned. It's not that some disaster happened, because we know disasters happen. We know we can forgive people that, but it really isn't the cover-up?
Cover-ups are bad. You know, it's a bad idea. It happened to Nixon. I mean, it happens, you know, all over the world where people, you know, they're embarrassed, and I get that. But nonetheless, being authentic, being real, being honest is a very successful game plan. It's always what I recommend to my clients.
And so how important do you think – well, actually, we don't really have time for that next question. Where can people reach you if they want to learn more about what you do, or they need help in some kind of disaster?
Well, sure. My website is drbell.com. Very easy, just drbell.com. The book is Me, We, Do, Be. It's on Amazon. It's everywhere. It's already hit number one. And I'm really very accessible. Just Google me, Randall Bell, and up I come.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bell, for being on the show. Coming up, we're 3 months into the new year, 75 days in new presidency. What do small business owners think about the future? We'll have that next. Is AM560 The Answer?
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Jeremy Scott, taking a look at your roadways. The Ravenswood 5K closes a couple of streets through that neighborhood, including Hermitage from Sunnyside to Leland, also Ravenswood from Wilson to Leland, and Wilson from Ravenswood to Paulina, and everything should open up by 11 a.m. Wrapping up as well is construction on the Ontario and Ohio feeder ramps that lasts until 6 a.m. No access to the Kennedy or anything around the near north side. And also the express lane should open up by 6 a.m. as well for use on the inbound side. Other than that, the rest of the roadways are moving well. We're seeing no accidents or delays to slow you down yet this morning. The surface streets not looking too bad either. And the forecast is looking just as good with clear skies and temperatures in the 70s. Right now at O'Hare, it's 40 degrees, 39 at Midway, and also 45 at the lakefront. Your next update's in 15 minutes on AM560 The Answer.
Microsoft knows the only constant is change, especially when it comes to technology we use to help run our businesses. Technology should be an asset, one that helps you to anticipate, manage, and respond quickly to change. It should also help your organization reduce costs and get more from the investments you make. Looking at the new tools and services coming out of Microsoft, it's immediately evident that the company is revolutionizing how it helps small businesses. Microsoft not only gets what small business need, but also how they want to work. When it comes to growing with greater efficiency, Microsoft technologies such as Office 365, Power BI, and the Azure Cloud Platform are helping small businesses answer some key questions. One, how quickly can we get new employees up and running with the tools they need? Two, how do we keep up with the massive growth in data needed to do business today? Three, are we getting the maximum return on our technology investments? With Microsoft, small businesses get solutions that help them grow their business with greater efficiency by reducing costs and getting exactly the technology you need when you need it. To learn more about the Microsoft products and services that will help give your company a competitive edge, visit modern.biz today. That's modern.biz.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he's finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, we're 4 months into a new year and 90 days into a new presidency. What do small business owners actually think about the future? Here to help is Brendan Walsh, the Executive Vice President of American Express Global Commercial Payments. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon.
So American Express does these surveys of small business owners all the time. So what have they found out now about what they think about what's going to happen in 2017?
So, well, just to give you some perspective on this survey, this was a survey of more than like 3,200 business owners. So business owners, board members, CFOs, et cetera, et cetera. And really, it was focused on small and mid-size enterprises, i.e. between 10 and 250 employees, and typically with revenues up to $30 million U.S. dollars. We did this survey across 15 different countries so that we could get a good global feel for the for what was going on or what really was the sentiment. What I should add is that the survey was conducted from October 24th through, I think, the end of November. So very critical here is that the U.S. election fell like pretty much right in the middle. To answer your question specifically, Barry, in terms of what were the most striking findings, what's the sentiment? What was very interesting, really noteworthy for me, was the level of the sentiment towards revenue growth. What we found was that like two-thirds of those interviewed, two-thirds of the respondents, you know, actually expected revenue growth that exceeds 4%.
Wow.
And then, which is quite a healthy clip,
yeah, for sure, you know,
given where we've come from. And then also very interesting that 25% of the respondents actually expected revenue growth of at least 8%, which I thought was really noteworthy.
Now, one of the things that I went through the survey, one of the things you were talking about in the U.S. in the short term was that one of the biggest challenges that people really identified was really how to implement innovations over the next few years. Why do you think that's such a challenge for small and medium-sized businesses?
Well, I think if you think of where they've come from over the past, you know, several years, I mean, the last few years has all been about doing more with less. So, you know, many companies have found themselves, you know, in the position of not being able to divert funds towards innovation and product development. So they clearly have identified innovation, you know, as a key area. Now, whether that's at the basic level just to really find out, you know, what's going on in the customer base, what their customers feel about their products, or to, you know, take it to the next level and really how they compete, you know, from a product perspective within the area that they operate, and getting research on how their products and how their services stack up against the competition, and or even beyond that, encouraging an innovative culture by accepting like challenges and risk taking within the organization. So there's various different strands to what lies beneath that, you know, force that focus on innovation.
Yeah, I really think that the competition, Brendan, really does weigh on people because they really do realize that it really is international world, that they have to compete with people all around the globe, don't you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why we did this survey. You know, obviously, a significant number of respondents in the U.S., but we did it from a global perspective to see what the sentiment was in this population around the world.
So what I found really astounding is what's really interesting today is that it actually is easier than ever to really accept payments from anywhere in the world, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's definitely easier than it was, you know, several years ago. Much, much easier.
And one of the things that I find that's really important for growing business is to really for companies to be able to finance their business. This is really a big pain point for a lot of small business owners. They still do face difficulties trying to find the capital to run their business.
So in terms of the financing, what we found very clearly was that U.S. Small and mid-sized enterprises here in the U.S., they do, in fact, encounter difficulty when looking for financing that's required for their growth. Now, when you speak further, when you explore that further, some of them do have, you know, financing options, you know, available to them. But when they actually go to use them, you know, it can be fraught with difficulty.
Right.
One of the things that we found from this survey it was that in 2017, a more significant, a higher number of SMEs plan to take advantage of really what we would see as a much more diverse set of funding options. So clearly bank loans, existing working capital structures will remain important. But what we found was that many of these SMEs are going to be looking to the more, I would say, non-traditional sources of finance, whether that's private equity, crowdsourcing, as I say, existing working capital, or flexible access to funding, such as credit cards. You know, there's clearly an appetite to explore a much broader range of financing vehicles.
I think that small business owners, they've got to use whatever they have at hand. Well, Brendan, thanks so much for being on the show. Where can people find more about the survey and the things that American Express can do to help small business owners?
Okay, we can at American Express, you find access to the survey at americanexpress.com or www.open.com.
Brendan, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Pleasure. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back. This is AM560, The Answer.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I love the product. I think I've been feeling great.
Just feel so energetic. Just amazing.
My cholesterol readings have never been better.
Balance of Nature has been consistent and has changed my life.
I love the product. It's really helped me.
I don't need my cane anymore. My knee doesn't hurt. I was afraid every day to wake up for fear it's going to hurt, but it hasn't hurt since.
Since I'm taking this stuff, it really is absolutely great. I mean, I'm digesting better. I have better appetite. You know, it's just worked miracles.
Take Dr. Howard's health challenge and find out how to get two free sets of fruits and veggies. We'll even ship them to you free. Call now for details. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
You have a wonderful company. I love my Balance of Nature. My whole life is so much better.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva.
Nextiva.
Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moults.
Well, there are lots of small business owners out there that become experts in the industry by creating a podcast. But is there a way to monetize what they're doing? My next guest has created a tool that can do just that. Dan Walton is passionate about making tools to empower creators and communicators. He has created Cast.Market that enables podcasters and potential sponsors to connect with each other. Dan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, Dan, tell us a little about this tool you created.
Yeah, it's a place you can go and you can search and find information on any podcast. So if you're looking for a show or you're looking for similar shows to the one that you have and you're trying to find out how popular they are, which countries they're doing well in, you can go and you can search around. But also it's a way to create offers for podcasters to read messages on the air.
Okay, and so how does it actually work and why did you create this?
Well, you can go and you can sign up and you can see all sorts of data about your show and other people's shows. And all that is free, sort of a search engine and analytics tool. And then if you're a sponsor, you can type up a message that you would like people to read on the air and you can set a price and it'll go out to shows that fit your category. And if the podcaster decides that they want to participate in that campaign and they like your product and service, they can read about it to their audience and receive payment right then.
And what's the range that the prices that usually get structured around this? What kind of offers?
Well, the sponsor can set any price they want, and the podcaster can also set a price. And if everything matches up, then they see the offer. So if you set kind of a low price, then you're more likely to see more offers. And if you set a higher price, you're less likely. So it's sort of a bid, and that's sort of an auction. But the prices are around $17 per 1,000 impressions.
And so that seems to be pretty affordable.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most direct way to sponsor a podcast. I mean, if you go through a network or some other kind of service like this, you have to end up paying large minimums. You have to talk to salespeople, and it's kind of an ordeal. If you go directly to podcasters, then each one works a little bit differently, and that can be a bit of a hassle. The payment goes directly to the podcaster. There's very little overhead. It's the most efficient way to sponsor shows.
So tell us a little about some of the success you've had at Cast.Market.
Well, I mean, we launched it a couple of years ago. We've had over 4,000 podcasters sign up. We've had, in the last year, we started opening it up to sponsors, and that's been going pretty well. But, you know, we have to continue to grow that. But you know, we're tracking hundreds of thousands of shows, information on them, their popularity, you know, where they're popular, when they produce episodes, and, you know, thousands of podcasters rely on it as a way to find out how well their show is doing.
And so where can people go and where can folks sign up?
Yeah, you just go to Cast.Market. It's free to sign up if you're a podcaster or a sponsor. If you want to sponsor shows, you can go through that way. If you just want to find more information about your show or possibly receive offers, yeah, you just go to Cast.Market, sign up, it's free.
Dan, thanks so much for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for talking to me. Have a good day.
Thanks. I want to thank everyone for joining us for this week's show. I want to thank our sponsor, Nextiva. And I also want to thank our fantastic staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you are serious about being successful this year in your business, you got to give me a call. I've set up a private line for this. It's 773-837-8250. Or you can email me at barry@moltz.com. Isn't this the year that you finally get your business unstuck? Isn't this the year that you finally move your business forward where you ought to be? Isn't this the year that you finally make the money that you deserve? It's the reason you got into your business. Remember, love everyone, trust the few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Not available in all states.